And then the angels carried him home. Yeah, that's what death does. Remember my dear old father-in-law, my wife's daddy, William Kendall. When I got to know him, he was already an aged man. But he had the Shekinah glory dwelling on his forehead. If you ever wanted to hear a man pray, you should have heard him pray. He could pray in a number of languages. But I used to love to hear him pray in his Yiddish. Now, that was wonderful. Oh, he could pray. It reminded me of that Baptist preacher who had replaced another one. And the chairman of the deacon's board asked this colored caretaker, a maintenance man, who was a fine Christian, and he could tell who when a preacher preached or just said things, asked him about the new pastor. He said, how do you like our new pastor? Can't he preach? He said, he sure can. He says, but oh, can he pray? He says, this here preacher done asked of the Lord things the other preacher never even knew he had. Well, Brother Kendall, William Kendall, could ask the Lord of things that most people didn't know the Lord had. I used to love to hear him pray. But he was out of his element. He had been born in Romania, brought up in Russia. He was a businessman there. He could talk Romanian, he could talk Russian, he could talk German, he could speak Yiddish. He spoke a number of languages. But the English he could never learn. Well, English is a tough language. It is one of the toughest in the world because it is so inconsistent. You just have to learn it by instinct. Anyway, many a time he used to tell me, Arthur, ich will gehen heim. That means I want to go home. He wasn't talking about Russia. He was talking about heaven. My heart used to go out to him. Ich will gehen heim. He had nothing in this world. One day, the daughter-in-law, Ivy, who had a great hand by God's grace to lead me to the Lord, heard a thump in the upper room there, and she went up there to see, and there was Brother Kendall on his knees. Well, she thought he was praying. Well, so she left him alone. But after a half an hour, he was still on his knees. And after 45 minutes, he was still on his knees. Then she was a nurse, and she realized something was amiss. And she came and touched his forehead. She says, Father, anything wrong? But then she realized that the death dew was on his brow. And she said, there was a wonderful peace, a smile on his face. He wanted to go home. And death was forced by God to ferry him home. Oh, yes. It's a beneficial release. And then it prepares for a bountiful reward. You can never get your reward as long as you're here on earth in this present life. At least you wouldn't want it. Well, no world would want a heavenly reward right here. An eternal reward where you can't use it, only but for a few years. You want it over there, don't you? An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Girl, consecrated Christian, suddenly dies. But Brother Glass, he dedicated his life, she dedicated her life. They wanted to be missionaries. Why did they die? Now, I can't answer that. But God, knowing the end from the beginning, and oftentimes I would say this, dear ones, if you want an answer to that, it could be that that person might have fallen away or gone into sin, would have broken the parents' hearts. Isn't it better for them to remember that dear young woman, that dear young man, their son, as he was in that prime prismic dedication with heaven's smile upon his face, than to remember him as one who failed in life because of sin? Now, think about that. Now, death prevents that sin. Well, even, I don't want to leave you here, even, as good as this may sound. Now we come to the end of death. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a day coming when God says, I'm going to kill death. Just kill it. In Hosea, he says, O death, I'm going to be your destruction. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let me tell you, dear ones, in the Lord's name and by God's authority, I can tell you one of these days, death will be extinct. And so much so that it'll never be remembered again. We'll never think of it. It'll be gone from our memories. God promises that. In verse 21, the last verse, there it is, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto what? Not just life. What's the word there? Eternal life, don't you see? Eternal life means no death. By Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear ones, take courage. There's a day coming when death will end. It will be remembered no more. It will be gone. It was dealt with, death was dealt with at Christ's crucifixion. On the cross, our Lord. Now remember, we think that the Jews killed Jesus. The Jews think that the Romans killed him. Well, in a sense, they're both right. Well, what did our Lord say of himself in John 10? Do you remember? I lay down my life, no man taketh it from me. After men and demons had done their diabolic worst, Jesus, my Lord, was still alive. And when he had taken the last dreg of the cup of judgment, he dismissed his spirit. When he could cry out one good Hebrew word, nishlam, which means it is finished. Well, the word nishlam also means it is paid. The word nishlam also means complete. Complete, finished, paid. The same word means all three. Then he said to his spirit, you may now go. And he was dead. And God said, amen. And tore the veil of the temple in two from top to bottom and hung out the welcome mat. He says, come on in. I see. Now the Lord Jesus accomplished that on the cross. That's where death received its death sentence. The death sentence was written for death on Calvary. And then death was defeated at Christ's conquest.